Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Gospel of Mark, you'll see that things are quite different. We've talked about this before, but in the Gospel of Mark, there is no Christmas story as we know it. No Mary and Joseph and babe lying in a manger. There are no angels singing to shepherds and telling them to go and see this thing that God has done. There are no magi or wise men that come from the east bearing gifts. In Mark, there isn't even a story of Jesus as a child teaching in the temple. And there's just barely a story about Jesus being tempted by the Satan in the wilderness. There are no stories of Jesus teaching the masses, at least not the same length of stories. There's not the same kind of sermons that the other Gospels have in Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, however, Mark portrays a Jesus who announces the kingdom of God. And he does this, Jesus, by healing the sick and the lame and the blind, and exposing and casting out demons. Even in this first chapter, the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus going to this region of Galilee, casting out demons. We've already seen that once in our story through Mark these last days. We've begun to see Jesus reaching out his hand, healing the sick. And our text today tells us that many who were sick or with various demons were cured, and Jesus also cast out many demons. This business of the kingdom of God sometimes can be confusing. The idea that God's kingdom has come, really it could be understood more as a rescue mission. God is breaking into humanity, breaking into this world, with the intent of rescuing those who are bound. Those who are bound by things of this world, things of our sin, things of our own making that hold us fast. Anything that with an iron fist holds us down, be that supernatural or imperialistic, or even of our own personal making. Jesus and the kingdom of God is a breaking into our world that God might rescue us and save us from all that is sucking us down. This rescue could be understood as salvation. And when we talk about salvation, we're really talking about freedom. Being saved from the powers of this world so that we can be all that God has intended us to be. So that we may spread those wings like eagles and soar as God intended. Even in this little chapter, in this little section of the chapter that we've read today, we see that Jesus in three separate ways displays and pronounces this salvation, this freedom to the people he encounters. The first little story has to do with Simon's mother-in-law, who, when Jesus and his friends come into the home, is made known to them that she has a fever and is sick in bed. And the salvation that comes to this unnamed woman, this woman who is a beloved family member to Simon, salvation is that she is relieved of her fever. But it also says in the text that Jesus stretches out his hand and lifts her up. Which is interesting because that's the same term that's used for when Jesus is put on the cross. And so you see already the connections between what it means for God to be coming into this world, to be the human that comes and gives of himself on the cross, is already here lifting us up together with him so that we may together experience all that God has to give us. And the freedom that Simon's mother-in-law experiences is not only that the fever leaves her, but that she began to serve them, the text says. Now, many have said that that may be a little bit, sexist, that this one who was just sick should now get up and serve these men who have come into her home. But the word there is diakoneo. It's the same word that we get the word deacon from. And to be a deacon is to be one who is in the ministry of service. Ministry of being and empowering others to do that work of service. It's the same word that Jesus uses later in the Gospel of Mark when he says to his disciples, whoever wishes to be great must be your servant, your deacon, your diakon. Whoever wishes to be great must be this one who takes up this opportunity to serve. And then Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so there again you see the connection between what it means to be granted salvation and what it means for us to give of ourselves, even to die to ourselves that others might live. And there's also this connection to the spirit of hospitality that Jesus explains here. Hospitality in the ancient world and even today should be seen as the opportunity to serve those that you don't know are coming. Remember the story of Abraham, how visitors came to Abraham, and Abraham was quick to serve them, and only later began to understand that those visitors included God himself. We might even imagine the three visitors being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, coming into Abraham's presence, and Abraham takes that opportunity to serve them, that they might share some time with him. It's the same here as Simon's mother-in-law has the opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity to serve God, perhaps, as is every opportunity to show hospitality. In this sense, it actually comes true that she serves the one who has come to bring salvation and to freedom. And then the second little story has to do with all the people around the town and the village that had come to see Jesus. The text says that they brought to Jesus all who were sick and possessed. And in fact, the whole city, it says, was gathered outside the door, wanting to come in and see. The scene is reminiscent of another story where some of those folks that are gathered around the house actually climb up on top of the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and lower down their friend on a blanket or a mat so that they might place him right in front, under the nose, at the feet of Jesus. You see, what we see here is that salvation is not just for those who ask for it, but we have the opportunity to lead others to it, to take them by the hand, and to usher them to the feet of Jesus. Whether that's sharing with them the scriptures, sharing with them the stories of Jesus, sharing with them the opportunity to know and understand God's story, or perhaps, as is our philosophy in global missions, to work alongside people, to share their pain and their work and their toil and their grief, to take them by the hand no matter where they are, no matter what they live, no matter how they share their lives together. It is, as Paul seems to say in the text today, that we do this that we may make the gospel free of charge, not demanding that others become something that we think they should, but knowing that the Holy Spirit will work in them and in us to give them and us what we need. And the third little piece of our scripture, our gospel text today, has to do with Jesus taking himself to a place apart. It says that Jesus went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And there is salvation, and there is freedom here too. Indeed, the gospel is full of times when Jesus would go off on his own to pray, to have some time alone, to have a conversation with God, his Father, even in those hours before his death. As we know, he knelt down and cried out to God. The point here is that Jesus' mission is always connected to God. Jesus doesn't just start out with a plan and see that plan full to fruition. But Jesus continually checks back in. As much as Jesus knows and understands his mission, Jesus needs to hear those words again, needs to hear the way that God is continuing to work on him. And we, in those ways, know that God is leading us to new things too. Indeed, change is a part of our lives. We know that from time to time, our lives include those ways in which our track may need to diverge from the track that we've been on, a track that we're comfortable with, a track that we know and understand and are familiar with. Same is true for the church. The same is true as we gather in this place, that although we have been on the path that God has led us, we know that God is leading us to new ways of reaching out to our community, of stepping out in service to others, maybe some that we haven't been able to interact with before, doing things that look different than the way church has always been done before. And indeed, we go back to those words of Paul when we think about those things, and we remember that, as he said, what we do is that we might make ourselves a slave to all. God's way is to follow this one who says in the gospel text, "Let us go to neighboring towns, that I may proclaim the message there also." Let us go to those places that God has not led us before, but God is leading us to now. For that is what Jesus came to do, and that is what God is calling us to do as well. As we seek out those people in our society, in our community, in our neighborhoods, who are struggling to put food on the table, to make ends meet, to know where their resources are going to come to tomorrow. And speaking to a world that seems so busy, so rushed and hectic and chaotic that no one has a chance to slow down, take a moment, and experience the salvation and the freedom that a moment of hearing the gospel might bring. The Gospel of Mark is not interested in a superhero celebrity Jesus. The Gospel of Mark, and really all of the Gospels, are interested in a Jesus who serves, in a Jesus who calls us to extend that service and that gift of life, that gift of hospitality, that we might reach out our hands and, as Jesus is lifted up, lift up those who are among us. It's the price that we pay for following Jesus to the cross, but also that we might experience with Jesus the salvation, the gift of life, not only for us, but for the freedom of those around us and the ways in which we too are walking with Christ along his way. Thanks be to God that God has called us to this ministry and this mission. And thanks be to God for the freedom that we have to say, yes, we will follow. Amen.